This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we're plowing on into Hebrews, destroying the one who has the power of death, Jesus better than Moses, as long as it is called today. There remains a Sabbath rest and the throne of grace. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
Listen to these words. Sing, pray, and keep his ways unswerving. Perform thy duties faithfully, and trust his word, though undeserving. Thou yet shalt find it true for thee. God never yet forsook in need the soul that trusted him indeed. That's the last stanza of a hymn we're going to be studying for the next hour or so with Pastor Will Wheaton, If Thou But Trust in God to Guide Thee, a hymn that is altogether appropriate for these evil days in which we live, dark and evil days. It calls us not only to trust God, but to trust him because of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. Joining us to study the hymn, If Thou But Trust in God to Guide Thee, Pastor Will Wheaton. He's assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. Formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, he's host of a daily short-form Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, and he's author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands. Will, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Hey, thank you, Todd. A joy to be with you.
We're kind of doing this hymn study at your request. Why did you want to sit down and study this hymn in depth at this particular time?
Well, I think by the time we work our way through it, it'll be manifest why this is the hymn for this moment that we're in. But I also have to confess that this particular piece, its music, before it's even its words, its music, drew me in. I remember when I was just beginning to learn piano, my mom bought me a book of, inspirational music, if you could call it. I mean, it had a whole bunch of really schlocky stuff in it, Climb Every Mountain, stuff like that. But it also had in it some hymns. And this was one of the hymns that was in it. And I was just playing through and learning them. And I hit this hymn. And I remember it stunned me. It stopped me in my tracks. And I worked on it and worked on it until I had it completely memorized, how to play the music for it, because it was, I thought, I've never experienced a piece before. I mean, I was a teenager, okay? I mean, I'm a young teenager, and this piece made me instantly feel both at peace and comforted, but it was so somber and so serious, and in the end, it also was joyful. And I was like, how does that all hold together? I mean, I think as a teen, I wasn't putting it in those words, of course, but I remember just being confounded by it, by how much stuff intersected. And then I started looking at the words and I grew even more amazed. And I still didn't even know the story behind it. If I'd have known the story, it would have blown me away even more. My entrance into this piece was through the music. And I hope that by the time we're done, we're going to have encouraged every single person that's listening to us to grab hold of their hymnal or go online and pick up the music. It can be found anywhere online at the text. And sing this together. Sing it together today in your home. It is such a comfort and such a blessing.
So tell us the story behind the hymn.
Okay, so I still like the old name, If Thou But Suffer God to Guide Thee, which is what Winkworth finally settled on. She couldn't figure out how to get the German into English very well there, but then she said, Suffer God. And of course, people change that now because they're like, wait a minute, suffer? I mean, they only hear that in one way. It just means, of course, if you allow God to guide you, if you allow God to guide you. But in the modern English, it's usually rendered, If You But Trust in God to Guide You. It was written by Georg Neumark. He was a young man who had just graduated from his gymnasium, so he'd finished all of his undergrad, if you will, getting ready to go off to study law. And it's in the middle of the 30 Years' War, so Germany is in pieces. It is a total mess. There are pockets where things are okay, and there are a lot of pockets where things have completely fallen apart and Spanish mercenaries are marauding. I mean, it's a very, very bad time in Germany. So he sets out for the University of Königsberg, and he is, 21 years old? the caravan he's traveling in is robbed, and he had a little bit of money sewn in his clothing that escaped their notice, but basically he was left penniless. He wandered from town to town trying to find a job, anything at all, until at last he ended up being friended by Pastor Nicholas Becker of Kiel. And Pastor Becker heard his story and landed him a job as a tutor for a local judge's family. So many, many years later, right at the end of his life, in fact, he recalls when that good fortune arrived so suddenly, so unexpectedly, after so many awful, horrible things had been happening, and he was just beginning to despair. He said he sat down and he wrote this hymn, the hymn we're looking at today. He wrote both the text and the tune. So it's one of those rare pieces. We do have several of them in our hymnal, but they are unusual, where the text and the tune come from the same man. Philip Nicolai is another one that did that with "Oh, How Lovely Shines the Morning Star," or "O Morning Star, How Fair and Bright," and "Wake, Awake, for Night is Flying." So, I mean, just think about it. We're going to hear words written by a 21-year-old in the middle of a war with his country in shambles and himself greatly afflicted. And he writes about the hope that gets you through. And it really, it still does after all these years.
I got to wonder, maybe you don't know the answer to this, but 21 years old,
yeah,
in any era, is still very young.
He's a kid, yeah.
To have penned something not only so beautiful and poetic, but also so theologically profound.
Profound.
Do we have anything else from him?
You know, I think we do have a few other pieces from him, but my mind is going blank. Poetry. Anyway, we have from him. I mean, he published the words first in a book of poetry. And it is funny to me that the tune was more popular than the text. It began to be copied and used for other hymns all over the place. People heard it and they fell. It's like I had that reaction. It's like, this thing is awesome. What do you do with this? It's so wonderful. And it's just become a real standard.
If you step back from this hymn and look at it kind of as a whole, what would you say is the guiding scriptural idea in this? Where would you say its central passage is?
You know, the end of Psalm 46 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted upon the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." This is a central piece that runs through the entire piece, as in P-E-A-C-E, a central piece that runs through the entire piece, P-I-E-C-E, from start to finish. This peace in God that comes from his promise. I'm with you. I got this covered. Don't you be panicky.
Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. We're studying the hymn, "If Thou But Trust in God to Guide Thee." On the other side of the break, the first stanza, "If Thou But Trust in God to Guide Thee, and hope in Him through all thy ways, He'll give thee strength whate'er betide thee, and bear thee through the evil days. Who trusts in God's unchanging love, builds on the rock that naught can move." I've written a column for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled "Closed Communion, Biblical, Historical, Lutheran, and Loving." We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Nancy Almodovar writes about her journey from the profound doubt produced by her former Calvinist beliefs to the absolute certainty of Lutheran theology. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we're plowing on into Hebrews, destroying the one who has the power of death, Jesus better than Moses, as long as it is called today. There remains a Sabbath rest and the throne of grace. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I like to think of the deaconess vocation as driven by two things. the love of Christ, and the needs of our neighbor.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. James Buescher, Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the vocation of deaconess.
First, the deaconess is moved by the love of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Yet I think we can also see the profound needs around us, broken families, loneliness, despair. Deaconesses help the church to become a true family that manifests the love of Christ in our love for one another, and especially for those in need.
For more information on the Deaconess Studies program at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit ctsfw.edu or call Concordia Theological Seminary at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155. Stanza one of the hymn, If Thou But Trust in God to Guide Thee. We're studying this hymn with Pastor Will Whedon of The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Will, where would you take us on this first stanza?
Well, when he begins with, If thou but trust in God or suffer God to guide thee and hope in him through all thy ways, he'll give thee strength whate'er betide thee. He'll see you through or bear you through. I like bear better. The kids sang bear, but our text has see in the hymnal. Bear you through the evil days. If you think about what God said in Isaiah 30 and verse 15, for thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning to him, and in rest you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength. This is where the strength that God's people find comes from. It comes from God himself, from resting in him, from knowing that he is the one who will supply you every strength for everything that you struggle through. And similarly, you can't help but think of Isaiah 40, right? At the end of Isaiah 40, he feels like he's looking at a pretty hopeless situation. Why do you say, O Jacob, why do you speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My right is disregarded by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord, he is the everlasting God. He is the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And when he says that he'll give thee strength, you also want to bear in mind the words of Philippians 4:13, right? Where Paul exalts in Christ and says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. He calls this the secret of contentment. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And if you ask yourself, well, what does all of this rest on? Well, he says there is this unchanging love of God, which is the rock from which nothing can move us. And there, I don't know. I can't help but think of any passage but Romans 8. And I just need to read it today because I think our people need to hear it. Hear it. Take it to heart. People, these words are as true today as they have ever been. Listen. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. more than that, who is raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we're being killed all the day long. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's the rock. It's a solid rock that you can rest on. You have been given a love in Jesus that cannot be taken away from you. It's going to be stronger than any disease or death you ever face, any economic meltdown you ever face. It's stronger.
Stanza two. What can these anxious cares avail thee, these never-ceasing moans and sighs? What can it help if thou bewail thee, or each dark moment as it flies? Our cross and trials do but press the heavier for our bitterness.
What can these anxious cares avail thee, these never-ceasing moans and sighs? What can it help if thou bewail thee, or each dark moment as it flies? Our cross and trials do but press the heavier for our bitterness.
This is a big rhetorical question, isn't it?
It really is. And It has about it a lot of very practical wisdom, right? We're going to look at some scripture here in a second, but just deal with the practical wisdom that is here right now. And that's just the question, so what good does it do you if you fret and complain and fume all day? What good is that doing you? Does it help things or not? If it doesn't help things, why do it? That's really the point there, that the cross and the trials, they're only pressing heavier and heavier and heavier on you when you gripe and complain and moan about them. Now, this reminds me of the people of Israel and their complaining. Do you remember in Exodus 17, he takes the people, they're camping at Rephidim, and there's no water for the people to drink. You know, Moses had led them to this rock, right, where God told him to go. The pillar of cloud and fire is leading the way, right? So God leads them there, and the people are like, why did you leave us here? Lead us here. There's no water. This is horrible. Why are we here? They're complaining against Moses. They're ready to stone him. And then God says to Moses, would you just go over there to that rock and take that staff in your hand and just tap it? And Moses does. And out of the rock come all the water they could ever have wanted. And it's like, oh my goodness, they were griping about the way God led them because they didn't see the end of the way God was leading them. But if they could have seen the end of what God was up to, they would have realized he led them right to the place where the water was. That's the big point. It's like, don't prejudge God's actions before you are anywhere near the end and seeing how things are going to turn out. You just don't know. And don't make your life and the life of the people around you miserable by all your griping and groaning about things. Instead, I would remind people of the wonderful words of 1 Peter 5. Listen to these, 1 Peter 5, verse 6 and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him. And why? Because he cares for you. Now, it took a long time for me as a pastor to realize how intimately connected these two parts are. You cannot actually be casting your cares on him until you have humbled yourself under the mighty hand of God and said, thy will be done. It's when you're able to look at whatever's coming your way and pray, oh, Lord, Heavenly Father, you are the God who knows how to bring good things even out of disaster. Your good, gracious, and perfect will be done. And when we pray that prayer, we have a peace. We have a real, honest to God peace that the world, of course, knows nothing about. But you can't pray it as long as your fear is that God's not going to do what you have as your will. I mean, what's your will? That we wake up tomorrow and everything is back to what we call normal before? I mean, yeah, wouldn't that be nice? That's what we want is utterly beside the point. We need to align ourselves with what God wants and pray, thy will be done. And when we do that, we can then say, you know what? All of the stuff that was fretting and bothering me, it all goes away as I humble myself under his mighty hand.
So what's the difference between that and what we're tempted to do, which is simply resign ourselves to fate? Stay tuned.
Sanctifying your homeschooling with the Word of God. You're listening to Issues, etc.
Have you considered homeschooling your children, but wondered if you have the time or the expertise? If you live in the St. Louis Metro East, check out St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois. We offer a classical Lutheran education for children pre-kindergarten through 8th grade. St. Paul Lutheran School is located just off of Interstate 55 in Hamel. Learn more at school.stpaulhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois. school.stpaulhamel.org.
Overnight, the world has become a strange place. The abnormal has become the new normal.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Every faithful little church is an ark of salvation. With Christ on board, we will get safely to the other side. Be of good courage.
Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. This Wednesday, March the 18th, we're studying the hymn, If Thou But Trust in God to Guide Thee. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest. Will, before the break, you were talking about that passage where it says, humble yourselves, and then that glad submission to God's will, seeing that it is good in Jesus Christ, whatever God sends our way. What's the difference between that and what we're tempted to do, which is, well, I'm just resigned to the fact it's going to happen, I can't stop it, I don't have any control over it, essentially resignation to fate.
Yeah, no, there is a great difference when you recognize it's not some sort of indifferent fate that you're putting yourself into the hands of. The one you're saying to, thy will be done, is the Father who loves you, who's provided the Son for you, who has provided for you a kingdom and eternity, who has forgiven you all of your sins, who promises you as long as he wants you on this daily earth, your daily bread. He is the one to whom you are praying. And so when you pray, thy will be done, you're asking for all of those things. And there can be great, great, great peace in that.
And to know that his will is good for us, not in some sort of abstract sense, but that his will actually is good for us in Jesus Christ, that assurance that that passage, he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, will he not also along with him give us all things?
Amen. Amen. And you know, I mean, you sort of got me thinking there. In Hebrews, as we're doing on the Word of the Lord endures forever, so I'm sort of stuck in my head here. He talks about, and putting everything in this chapter 2, putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside of his control. At present, we do not see everything in subjection to him, but we do see, he actually changes the verb see there, we do see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of suffering death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. So his point is, he does have control of absolutely everything, but you just cannot see it. That's okay. You can see him. You can see him crowned with glory and honor, and know that is exactly where you are headed. That is where he will bring you.
Stanza 3. Be patient and await his leisure in cheerful hope with heart content. to take whate'er thy Father's pleasure and his discerning love hath sent, nor doubt in inmost wants are known to him who chose us for his own.
Be patient, don't await his leisure, in cheerful hope with heart content, to take what of our Father's pleasure and his discerning love hath sent. Lord, not our inmost wants are known,
so this is the alternative to what we are tempted to do in stanza two. This is patience.
Patience.
Waiting on God's leisure.
Waiting his leisure. You know, it's when he decides to get up and move, that's what we're waiting for. And doing so with a cheerful hope, with a heart content, and knowing that we can take absolutely anything that the Father chooses to send us. It all comes from his love, and we do not need to doubt that everything that goes on inside of us, all of our fears and all of our worries, he knows them all, the one who chose us to be his own. I'm reminded, above all, of Psalm 27. Listen to these words at the end of the psalm. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Do not give me up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen up against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. That just nails the Christian's response. And I mean, Christian resignation is not a bad thing. It's very different from that inshallah kind of approach that says, Christian resignation says, this is my Heavenly Father's will, and he will take care of me and of mine, and he will take care of his own. And we just need to await his good leisure as he sees fit. I'm also reminded, though, of Romans 5, verses 1 to 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him also we've obtained access by faith into grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given to us. This is to receive from the hand of God the gift of suffering, knowing, okay, from my Father's hand, this has the purpose of bringing me blessing. And you can sort of work through the chain there as he lays out how one thing produces the next in your life, and see that it all ends up with you being absolutely filled with the love of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit who is the gift of love himself. And of course, I also think in this stanza of Job 2:10, where Job's wife says, you know, for heaven's sake, just curse God and die. And he's like, you know, you're talking like one of the foolish women. Should we receive tov, good, and not receive ra, evil also? So recognizing that the things that we call evil, the things that we see as most unpleasant, and the things that fill us with fear sometimes, these things also we should be able to receive. Oh, my Heavenly Father has sent even this to me. It's my little share in the chalice of Christ's suffering. And I can enjoy this, knowing that it will be to me a blessing in the end. I can give thanks in the midst of the suffering, because this is going to turn out to the blessing of his people.
Would you also include 2 Peter 3:9 about the Lord is not slow as some count slowness?
Yeah, that's a really good one to include too. That was specifically in regard to the promise of the last day, but this is true for all Christians along the way. They're like, okay, Lord, you made this promise. Why aren't you keeping it? Keep it now. Keep it now. We are an impatient people, right? Our society has made us even more so. So this is going to teach us a brand new virtue, right? That we've all but forgotten. What is it to be patient and wait for the Lord?
I'm thinking here in the last two lines of this stanza of Luther's tremendous insight in his treatment of the Lord's Prayer in the Small Catechism. nor doubt our inmost wants are known to him who chose us for his own. That God already knows what you need before you ever ask him.
Yeah. Again, they changed the words on that in our hymnal a little bit. Nor doubt our inmost thoughts are known thing. But the wants are known is a much better one. Yes.
Is that a subtle direction on the part of the hymn writer here to pray?
Yeah, I think so. It's like, hey, it's okay. You can pray. It's not going to be so subtle by the end of the thing. He's going to be telling you, pray. So what's the grand conclusion? That comes at stanza 7. I can't wait to get to it.
I wanted you to explain one other thing in this stanza, and that is his discerning love. What do you think is meant by that?
You know what? I take it back. I typed thoughts incorrectly. It's wants in the hymnal. So let me just correct that. It is wants in the hymnal. Yay. His love already is thinking about how to be a blessing to us. It always discerns all things. It has all possibilities lying open to it in a way that our minds can't even begin to fathom. God knows how to work things out to be a blessing. He's going to dwell on this more, I think, in the next stanza. This entire way that he has of working all things to bring blessing to his people that just blows them away. It's like the Israelites and the water. It's like, wait a minute, there's nothing here. It's like, oh yeah, watch.
I have noticed then that we are now speaking of God primarily in this stanza in the way that you directed us a few moments ago, thy father's pleasure, a reminder that this isn't just God out there. This isn't fate. This is Father.
This is the Father. This is your heavenly Father who loves you in Christ and has loved you with the love that is the foundation of your life.
Stanza 4. God knows full well when times of gladness shall be the needful thing for thee, when he has tried thy soul with sadness and from all guile has found thee free, he comes to thee all unaware and makes thee own his loving care.
God knows full well when times of gladness shall be the needful thing for thee, when he has tried thy soul with sadness and from all God has found thee free. He comes to
This is a tough one because this one directs us to something that we don't like to think about. Jesus saying, the vine dresser prunes the vine. These trials are intended to purify us from guile.
Yeah, this whole section, I think, reminds me of nothing so clearly as the entire Joseph cycle in Genesis. I mean, stop and think for a moment of this poor boy's life. God gives him a very clear vision of how it's going to be. His brothers, his mother, his father, all down on their faces before him, right? And he as Lord over them. And then God proceeds to set the plan in motion. How does he do it? By having his brothers betray him, sell him as a slave, hand him over to a life of service in Egypt where he is falsely accused of attempted rape and thrown into jail, and where he does good to people and they promptly forget him and leave him there until at last the moment comes when God has him exactly where he wants him, that everything flips around. When he has tried thy soul with sadness and from all guile hath found thee free, he comes to thee all unaware and makes thee own his loving care. You could only imagine Joseph's face when Pharaoh appoints him the prime minister, or Joseph's face when his brothers actually come down and fall on the ground in front of him and he realizes, oh my Lord, this is what you promised me. This is what's happening. You have been faithful to your word all along. It reminds me especially of like the end of Psalm 23, where you have these moments where goodness and mercy are playing tag with you. They're chasing you. They're chasing after you all the days of your life. Picture that. You're walking through life and goodness and God's goodness and his mercy, they're tackling you and throwing you down and rolling on the ground with you in laughter and love. And then again, it also reminds me to make thee own his loving care, 1 Peter 5 again, that he cares for you. He cares for you. He really does. That's what Joseph learned throughout that whole cycle. It is what the people of God learn as they go through the hardships. They find out, oh, the Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our refuge. And he got me through, and he turned horrible things to blessing. Of course, the supreme example will always be the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ.
We're studying the hymn, If Thou But Trust in God to Guide Thee. Our guest is Pastor Will Wheaton of The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. It's a remedy for doubt, and doubt is part of the subject of the Wittenberg Trail feature in our latest Issues Etc. journal written by Dr. Nancy Almodovar. She's talking about assurance and her journey to Lutheranism. Well, the doubt was baked in for her as a Calvinist. She found a theology that provided assurance and not doubt. I've also written an article on closed communion, biblical, historical, Lutheran, and loving. You can subscribe to the online Issues Etc. journal absolutely free at our website, issuesetc.org. Click the red subscription button, enter your email address, and we'll send it to you for free. issuesetc.org. When we come back, does all of this help us understand how Jesus faced his suffering and death? Does this put Gethsemane in a different light?
See my Savior's hands. The title says it all.
Pastor Will Wheaton, author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, See My Savior's Hands.
In pictures and words, we follow Jesus' story by watching his hands, from childhood to his baptism, from his healings and miracles all the way to the cross, from his resurrection to his ascension. We'll see that his hands are always active at work to bring us blessing.
Learn more and purchase See My Savior's Hands, a book for children ages 4 through 7 at issuesetc.org.
Lutheran Federal Credit Union serves the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod community with car and personal loans, mortgages, credit cards, checking and savings accounts. Lutheran FCU supports LCMS organizations with its Spotlight Ministry program, and Lutheran Federal Credit Union allows you to make purchases with Apple Pay, Google Pay, and Samsung Pay using your digital wallet. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Good for you, good for the church, Lutheran Federal Credit Union, LutheranFCU.org.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Are you planning your vacation in the Orlando area? Are you thinking about retiring in Central Florida? Are you looking for a faithful Lutheran church near the theme parks? Then Zion Lutheran Church and School is the place for you. We're in Winter Garden, Florida, about 20 minutes from all the attractions. At Zion Lutheran Church and School, we believe, teach, and confess God's truth for you. Find out more on our website, zionwg.org.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth, Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. He's host of the daily short-form Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. We are studying the hymn, If Thou But Trust in God to Guide Thee. Will, I'm wondering, does this understanding of how this hymn asks us to face suffering, to face difficult times, does it help us understand how Jesus himself faced his suffering and his death? It seems to put Gethsemane in an entirely different light.
If you look at what happened in Gethsemane, I mean, he's coming into Gethsemane in the synoptics, the weight of what he's getting ready to do is literally pressing the blood out of him. He is a man in utter misery and in hell, right? And then he submits himself to the Father. He humbles himself to the Father. He submits. He says, Father, your will. And then he walks out of Gethsemane, a man totally at peace and in control, because he has submitted himself 100% to the Father. And then he finds out, as the book of Hebrews will say, he was heard those loud prayers and cries that he uttered, and he was rescued from death. Not that he didn't have to suffer it, but that he was raised from it and in corruption.
That also kind of changes the tenor of, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? This is, we call it a cry of dereliction, but because he has been abandoned by the Father to this suffering for our sakes. But it is not as though Christ despairs.
No, he is not despairing. He's still saying, my God, he's still holding tight to him. And one of the things that's important to remember is that's the start of Psalm 22. And he seems to end up in Luke with Psalm 31. I think there's a really good case to be made that what Christ is actually doing on his cross is praying the Psalter. He's praying the Psalms that he knew, that had been his prayer book his whole life.
So do we have there not only the comfort in the midst, we know if God would do this for him and he did this for us, he will do the same for us. Whatever cross, back to stanza one, or stanza two, I'm sorry, whatever cross he lays upon you is not only necessary, but it's also just like Christ's cross.
A cross out of love, right? And you could even take this, the way Martin Chemnitz beautifully explains this in the Examination of the Council of Trent. He said, from eternity, God has already planned the crosses by which your life will be conformed in suffering to his Son. He's already planned them all, which means that you're receiving them in a very different way than receiving them as nothing but frustration and anxiety causing. No, and quite the contrary. When the hardships come along and you know they're coming from the hand of the Father who loves you and who will not abandon you, who's not going to abandon you to the grave, it changes how you receive what comes.
Stanza five. Nor think amid the fiery trial that God hath cast thee off unheard, that he whose hopes meet no denial must surely be of God preferred. Time passes and much change doth bring and sets a bound on everything. So this is the twin stanza of stanza four. How does it continue?
So the temptation is when you're going through the fiery trial to imagine, am I being rejected by God? As I'm going through this, is he in fact abandoning me? And he invites us, no, think about that. By using the term fiery trial, he's inviting us to hear these words from 1 Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice. Even though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold which perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result to the praise and honor and glory of God at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I mean, just beautiful, beautiful promise from 1 Peter there. And it's similar in a way to the way James starts out his epistle, where he says, you know, count it joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking in nothing. beautiful promise.
The hymn writer here is encouraging us not to look at people who seem to be having their prayers answered so easily and think that they are preferred of God.
It's, I mean, you know, that's that old Puritan idea, right? I shouldn't say that. It's not, the best of the Puritans didn't teach it, but it did sort of take root in popular imagination that the Puritans, if things are going well in your life, it is a sign from God that you are one of his elect and blessed and everything is good for you. And if things go poorly in your life, then you better be worried that maybe God really isn't loving you, that maybe you're not one of the elect, that you have secret sin that he's calling you to repent of or whatever. It causes this great anxiety. And this is the exact opposite of it. It's like, hey, don't you be judging that before the time. 1 Corinthians 4, judge nothing before the time, before the Lord Jesus appears. And so you're not in the position to call how things are actually going to go. You don't know. You only know this, that in the midst of the worst trials, God himself will meet you. Fiery trial? You want to meet God? What about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Where did they meet God? Dancing in the fire. That's where they met God.
What is to be made of this last two lines? Because it just sounds like this too shall pass. Time passes and much change doth bring and sets a bound on everything.
Oh, no, this really is a comfort, because when you think, I'm not sure I can bear it anymore. he says, hold your horses. You know, I've set a bound to everything. I myself am not going to allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to bear. With the temptation, I myself will provide the way of escape so that you can bear it. I'm the one who sets times and seasons. And you know what? I knew the days of your life. They were all formed, and every one of them was before me before a single one of them came to be. They're all written in my book. I know them all. And there's a big comfort in that, Todd. You're not going to die, or I'm not going to die before the very moment that it was already foreseen by God from eternity that I would leave this earth. There's peace there. There is real peace.
We are studying the hymn, If Thou But Trust in God to Guide Thee. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. When we come back, we'll talk about that passage that says, teach us to number our days.
Have you ever wondered if your investments could do more? I mean, a whole lot more? This is Rahema Kavuga, Synod Relations Manager of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. When you invest with us, you not only earn a competitive interest rate, but your investment goes to strengthen Lutheran Church Missouri Synod church workers, congregations, schools, and organizations through low-cost loans and services. To learn more, visit lcef.org/invest101.
After Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and there he fasted for 40 days, and Satan came and tempted him. And whereas we have fallen to temptation time and again, Jesus did not. Read the March issue of the Lutheran Witness to learn all about fasting and temptation. Read about how God called his people to return to him with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and learn about how Jesus gives us his perfect obedience in place of our sin. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. cph.org/witness.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's Classical Christian Curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Your sun-bleached felt church banners have seen better days. Held together with staples and superglue, they are a monument to Aunt Mabel's pastel-toned creativity from 1960. But it's time for a refresh. Ad Crucem has the solution that doesn't even need a Sharpie. We proudly offer Scapegoat Studios creations as well as Ad Crucem's original banners. Come and browse our wide selection of seasonal church banners. We also create banners and church signs to your design. Visit adcrucem.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
Spiritual and religious. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Bethlehem Lutheran, Altamont, Illinois. Faith Lutheran, Azona, Texas. Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California. Emmanuel Lutheran, Lima, Ohio. Mount Calvary Lutheran, San Antonio, Texas. Peace Lutheran, Rapid City, South Dakota. Risen Savior Lutheran, Basor, Kansas. St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas. St. Peter Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana. And Zion Lutheran, Tacoma, Washington. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We are studying the hymn, If Thou But Trust in God to Guide Thee. Our guest is Pastor Will Whedon. Pastor Whedon hosts a daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. He's currently leading a study on the book of Hebrews. I highly recommend that you listen to this daily short-form Bible study. Learn more at thewordendures.org, thewordendures.org. Pastor Whedon, what you were saying before the break about God having our days numbered put me in mind of that passage, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom, but we don't know the number of our days.
We don't know them. So he wants us to thank God. Again, I just cannot praise this prayer book highly enough in this time of great affliction and trial. CPH sells the Lutheran Prayer Companion, and in the Lutheran Prayer Companion, the prayers consistently They thank God for the little things each day. He preserved you through the night. He lets you wake up. Give him thanks and praise for that. Give him a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. But they all have this end in view that, Lord, I don't know when my day is coming. It might be today that you call me from this earth. So if it is today, I pray that you enable me to leave this world in faith in you and in trust in my Lord Jesus. It's a beautiful, beautiful gift of prayer.
Here is stanza 6 of If Thou But Trust in God to Guide Thee. All are alike before the Highest. 'Tis easy to our God, we know, to raise thee up, though low thou liest, to make the rich man poor and low. True wonders still by him are wrought, who setteth up and brings to naught. This is the Magnificat, isn't it?
You stole my line. I said, this is either Mary's Magnificat from Luke 1 or Hannah's Canticle from 1 Samuel 2. It's the topsy-turvy God. It's like when you think that, man, I'm at the bottom, there's no way I could ever end up anywhere but on the bottom. And in that moment, the slave is made the prime minister of Egypt. It's that Joseph flip, that wonderful moment of God. The man hanging dead on the tree as a condemned Roman criminal ends up being raised as the Lord of life and the giver of eternal salvation. And wow, this is the way of our God. You can't fall so low that he cannot raise you up. You cannot, you know, rise so high that he cannot bring you down. And I think in the next little bit, we'll see a lot of things that we thought were high brought down. And I think we're going to see a lot of things that are really low lifted high, especially the little things in your life. Look at those things and enjoy and celebrate the goodness of God in the ordinary of the everyday. Did you have food to eat and to drink? Thanks be to God. Did you have somebody that you could eat or drink it with? Did you get to see a neighbor or a friend, even if just from a window? Was that a blessing? Is it something you can thank God for?
This notion that all are equal, all are alike before the one who is like none of us.
Right.
God being the almighty, the highest, that old, I think it's probably the Greek term that was so popular in the Middle Ages, from Pantokrator.
Pantokrator, yeah.
But that all mankind stands before him as one. What's the comfort in that?
That is, well, you know, the amazing part of the comfort is that before that highest one before whom we stand, he actually comes and chooses to stand down among us. You know, he becomes the lowest because he wants to lift us up to the highest. So there is massive comfort in that. But there is also comfort in this, that, well, how did the line go? It was in one of the Chronicles of Narnia, when he called them sons of Adam and daughters of Eve. And he said that there's in that, or maybe it was in Perelander. It was in C.S. Lewis somewhere, where he says that there is in that both enough for everyone to hang his head in shame and to lift his head in hope. Because this is the humanity that's rebelled against God, but it is the humanity that he came into the flesh and assumed from the womb of the Virgin. So all are alike before the highest. All of us are sinners, and all of us have been declared forgiven in his Son. It's a beautiful thing.
You made reference earlier to the Joseph story in mm-hmm. Genesis, and it strikes me here that, and I've never seen it this way before, the dreams that he dreamed as a child were the promise.
Yeah.
And although he appeared to be the only one who believed them, mm-hmm. Naively perhaps as a child, the dreams that he then interprets for the cupbearer and for the baker are, while they have their individual applications to those men, they're also the continuation of that promise. They get raised up.
Yep. Up, and, up, up.
And even Pharaoh's dream of these fat cows coming up. All of them have that kind of echo to Joseph, that of the original promise.
Yeah, it's like it just keeps resounding on. And what's really cool about the baker and the chief butler, the cupbearer, you have bread and wine there, right? you didn't lose that, did you? And bread, of course, is associated with the fall. In sorrow, you shall eat of it all the days of your life. And, you know, you're going to eat your bread in sorrow. And then the cup is always associated with, in that day, the mountains will drip sweet wine, right? You know, it's eschatological feast. So it's like both of them together, put them together, and you get an image of Jesus himself, right? The one who will go to the cross as the bread, born in the house of bread, and he will bear the curse there to provide for us the wine, the eschatological wine, and also that we might be lifted up like Joseph is lifted up, that he is so eager for this moment to arrive when he stands before his father at the last day and says, "Lo, I and the children thou hast given me." You know, it's such a beautiful moment.
One other thought on this stanza, and that is, true wonders still by him are wrought. This is the God who has a whole chronicle of wonders there in Holy Scripture for us to contemplate.
And who's still at it. And this is very much autobiographical. He's like, see, I ended up with a job. Who would think that I would end up with a job? You know, and I'd been wandering around with nothing. And God provided for me. He got me a job as a tutor, and I was able to actually serve. And it's a beautiful moment for him. The hymn is written on the cusp of his reflection on his Joseph moment. Now, I want to say this. Many times in our lives, we don't get to have the moment of the reversal scene. We have to wait for it still at the resurrection. It will come to us all. Everyone who is in Christ is going to have the Joseph moment. But as you're waiting for it in this life, there are moments where you still get the true wonders that God works, and you see it. You see how it works together, and you step back and you go, "Oh my word, that was what he was up to. I see it now."
The final stanza. Sing, pray, and keep his ways unswerving. Perform thy duties faithfully, and trust his word, though undeserving. Thou yet shalt find it true for thee. God never yet forsook in need the soul that trusted him indeed.
Sing, pray. Thank you.
So what is the final disposition according to this hymn?
Okay, I mean, this is the grand conclusion, and I think we need to listen to it all the way through. First, sing! Seriously, do it today in your house. I bet you haven't been doing it. Go sing. Pull out your hymn books and sing together. Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail in Acts 16, they wake up after being beaten. You know, what can they do? They can only sit there and sing. What else can a Christian do? There's never a time or a place when it's out of order or out of place to be singing. So sing to God together today. Please open up your hymnals to LSB 750 and sing, "If Thou But Trust in God to Guide Thee." Sing all of it with your family. You will be blessed. Remember how Paul would say it, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, and sing to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody with your hearts to the Lord. And then he also says, pray. Sing, pray. Pray seriously. Do it. Do it together in your homes. This is your wake-up call. If you've been neglecting prayer in your life, now's the time to get serious about it. 1 Thessalonians 5, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. I always think of that great man of God who was such a man of prayer, St. John Chrysostom. You know, he's one of my favorite biblical commentators. And literally, he suffered so much. At the end of his life, he ended up being in exile, and he died on his way to exile. And literally, as he's dying, he's shouting out glory to God for all things. Let that be us. That is a beautiful model. Pray. And so give thanks in all circumstances. There is something to give thanks for today. Find it. Give thanks for it. And pray. Pray for especially our medical workers. Pray for the wisdom for our government. Pray for our communities. Pray for the people who are sick and the people who are going to get sick. Pray for them all. Put them all in his loving hands.
So that is Sing and Pray when we come back. And keep his ways unswerving. We'll find out what Pastor Will Wheaton has to say about that as we study this hymn, "If Thou But Trust in God to Guide Thee."
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Wittenberg Academy is a completely online Lutheran school. Wittenberg Academy is offering reduced price, 8-week courses to support families and schools impacted by the COVID-19 outbreak. These 8-week courses will run Monday, March 23rd through Friday, May 22nd. Wittenberg Academy will allow a rolling registration and entry to accommodate the circumstances in which families find themselves. Learn more at wittenbergacademy.org. WittenbergAcademy.org.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we're plowing on into Hebrews, destroying the one who has the power of death, Jesus, better than Moses, as long as it is called today. There remains a Sabbath rest and the throne of grace. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
I've written a column for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled "Closed Communion, Biblical, Historical, Lutheran, and Loving." We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Nancy Almodovar writes about her journey from the profound doubt produced by her former Calvinist beliefs to the absolute certainty of Lutheran theology. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org. the choir of St. Lorenz Lutheran Church, Frankenmuth, Michigan, with the hymn All Glory, Laud, and Honor, playing right now on our 24/7 sacred music station, Lutheran Public Radio. Listen anytime, anywhere to sacred music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org and on the LPR mobile app. We are studying the hymn, If Thou But Trust in God to Guide Thee. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest. Pastor Whedon, we went through sing, pray, but then that first line of the last stanza says, and keep his ways unswerving.
Keep his ways, that is, consider the commandments, his law of love. You mentioned that really great article that's up on Gottesdienst by Pastor Peterson. And he basically works his way through the challenge between commandments number 3, 4, and 5 that we're facing here. It's really worth the read and pondering. His way, though, first of all, is his words. This is his first way. So listen to them often. Read them aloud. Put down the phone and read the Bible. If you're not praying Treasury, pull it out. Or Pray Now, the Pray Now app. Pull it out. Use it every day. Let the words soak into you. If you're not listening to, I don't know, say a podcast like The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, listen. You know, let the words of Christ permeate you, fill you. They will give you a peace that nothing else in this world can give, because this really is true. God has never forsaken in need the soul that trusts him. But trust comes only from hearing the word. So spend your time singing, praying, and hearing it.
Isn't that the fantastic, it's Paul's insight, but it's also a Lutheran insight, that the very word that we are called to trust produces in us that faith that we so desperately need.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the most beautiful things. C.F.W. Walther has a beautiful thing where he says, you know, you don't even have to talk about the word faith. All you have to do is tell them the message of the word. And he says, and it makes faith in those who hear it. They hear it. The Spirit is always eager to take the word and to implant in us through that word trust in Jesus. Yeah, you know, I don't know. It's yesterday or day before yesterday, I guess Cindy and I decided that we were going to, instead of just doing the regular treasury like we've been doing, we decided to use the with our treasury a year through the Old Testament, a year through the New Testament, the companion books that were made out for treasury years ago. I did a little bit on the New Testament book, but if you for the first day, it was just like Jacob and waiting. It was all about Jacob and waiting for Rachel and Leah and waiting, and how hard waiting is in our lives. And I thought, Lord, it's like you planned for this day to arrive all those years ago. We would open up this book and read these words, and we would see how powerfully they apply to us at this very moment. It's really powerful.
When he calls us to perform our duties faithfully,
yeah,
what is he calling us back to?
He is always calling us to ask, what is the duty of love? Here, I mean, the Lord Jesus takes the entirety of the moral law and puts it into a single precept when he says, do as you would be done by. And so he telling us to do this. I mean, if in this time of a crisis, you think, okay, if you have a neighbor who is elderly, yeah, what, if you were that neighbor, what would you want? Would you want somebody checking on you every once in a while? Even if it's just calling up to say, are you doing okay? Can I get you anything? Do you need anything from the store? That kind of thing, you know, where you actually work to take care. And if you have people in your house that are afraid, if they're afraid, what would you want them to do? If you were afraid, would you want them to sit on their phone and ignore you? Or would you want them to sing a hymn to you that would calm your fears?
Let's listen to the entire hymn, If Thou But Trust in God to Guide Thee.
Thank you.
Mr. Whedon, your final thoughts on this hymn of comfort.
Now I'm going to let David have the final thoughts. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. By the way, that's the Holy Spirit. The holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The Lord of hosts is with you. The God of Jacob is your fortress.
Pastor Will Whedon is assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hemel, Illinois. Formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, he hosts the daily short-form Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, and he's author of the books Celebrate the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands. You can purchase these books by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy on the Talk On Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Will, thank you.
Hey, thanks so much, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll continue our series, A Lutheran Response to Post-Christian Culture, talking with Dr. Gene Edward Veith about desecularizing the church, and we'll respond to your email and the Issues Etc. comment line. It seems so simple, it is counterintuitive, especially during these dark and evil days. Worry comes naturally to us, but that nature is part of sin. Anxiety is there, and it is pressing from all sides. Of course, there's the force of the world out there stoking that anxiety in all of our hearts. And yet, God is still God. His promises are still certain. His word is still there, assuring us that all things come from his fatherly hand, and we can trust him and his will for the sake of his son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority, they've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
Do you want a church with a rockin' band and a sermon series to help you live a better life? It's not here. Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights offers authentic, historic Christianity to a world awash in fads and entertainment, and offers forgiveness of sins to people overwhelmed with guilt and shame. Join us Sundays at 9:30 on Old Collinsville Road in Fairview Heights, Illinois, to receive the life-giving gifts of God with us. Find out more online at bethanylcms.org.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep. scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.